Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is a Crowd podcast.
This episode comes with a trigger warning where we do talk about breath play, fear play, and some other sadomasochistic tendencies. So buckle up. And if any of you wish to engage or plan to engage in some of the stuff we've been talking about on this episode, please make sure you do your research and make sure you are as safe as possible and your play partners too.
You're listening to Fucks Given, the one with the Dom couple.
Do you remember them? Do you remember?
Imagine if I've forgotten them. Like, that would be some senile actions. So for those of you who don't know, the Dom couple were a couple that I went on a date with and had a very fun sexual experience with. The Dom couple I met on Field, and we also spoke on FetLife and ended up having a date, and I went back to theirs, and they were like the experienced Dom couple that like double dommed me, and there's a whole podcast episode where I talk about
that
it.
That was a great episode.
Yeah,
that
it was insane. Such a great episode. I had much energy in life.
Yeah, like after that, we were just like, we need to get them on. Like, there's just no... I'm really excited about it as well because we've never had anyone on the podcast before that either of us has slept with.
Yeah, I know, it's insane. This is going down in Fucks Given history.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
So we're going to find out what Reed is like in the bedroom, basically.
Yeah, whether or not I'm actually like just a 4 and I pretend to be a 10. Just like, I'm that floppy, wet fish, bitch.
Yeah, it's going to be really great. We're going to get all the juicy details, curious fuckers. Can't wait.
And some, I think we're going to get some good Dom tips as well because they're experienced players. So they know their shit. Like I've never felt safer in my life doing the most craziest shit.
Yeah, this is going to be really, really interesting. So for anyone out there that's wanting to get into BDSM, kink, domming,
breath play,
like, they are just going to give you all the tips, all the juicy tips.
Yeah, and safety tips as well.
But first, I actually have something really funny to tell you all. Because, you know, last week's episode was all about anal sex.
The anal sex, as in to talk about it, not necessarily to have it.
Well.
Curious fuckers.
Later that day, after the recording.
The same day. Whoa, that is some fresh
I went to my friend's house and we had anal sex. I was going to say, this doesn't sound like a very great like beginning to the anal sex story because it's like usually if you had loads of... We went out for Taco Tuesday.
Already a bad start. Fuck.
But as soon as you say something like that, you're like, oh, we know how this is going to go.
We know which way.
It was actually just like... I mean, obviously, my digestion doesn't work that quickly. Come on, guys.
I mean, people with IBS would beg to differ.
Yeah. And also, these were vegan tacos, so it was like the best for your digestion that there could be. So we ended up going back to his after Taco Tuesday, and we were just chilling, watching TV, and he was like, shall we do anal?
He prompted.
He's super into it.
But had you spoken about the podcast?
No, I didn't say anything about the podcast, which is why it's so random that it happened after the anal episode.
Crazy. All right.
Psychic. I hadn't even said psychic, literally. But you know, on that podcast, I had said, I was like, yeah, I'm seeing someone who is really into anal, so I probably will be having anal sometime soon. I didn't realise it was going to be that day.
That soon, that fresh. Okay, give us the juicy deets. Tell us everything.
You know what? I think it might have been the best anal sex that I've ever had.
That's amazing. It was
really good, and I came so quickly from it, probably too soon. I was like, I should have edged myself a little bit rather than getting, like, because it was just turning me on so much. The best experience that I had before was in like a missionary kind of situation,
mm-hmm. as you say on the last episode.
Yeah, maybe we should try that way, but because he's so tall, it wasn't really working that way. Uh-huh. We were like, yeah, and I was like, hey, should I just flip over? So I was in like the lazy bitch position,
our favorite position,
which for those that don't know is just when you're flying flat on your stomach on the bed,
flying as well. Or sometimes with a wand placed neatly on your clitoris and you're lying on top
that
of the clit.
Would have been
like the best,
fucking perfect. Yeah. because I didn't have any of my toys with me. I just had my hand like in down between my legs, like ferociously, like flicking the bean,
trying to start a fucking fire, like please,
literally trying to start a fire down there. Yeah, so he entered me in that position, like, and we just did it really, really slowly to start off with, mm-hmm. and he was just like consistently checking in.
Nice.
Are you okay? Does it hurt? Like, and I was like, no, it's actually fine. Yeah, it's good.
You absolute anal whore. I'm loving this.
And I was just like, because I was stimulating my clit at the same time, I was just getting so turned on by the whole, like, just like the idea that his dick was going in my ass.
Yeah.
Because it was such a surprise as well. Like, I wasn't really planning to have anal sex. Mm. And I was doing a lot of like breathing to like make myself relaxed and like just getting really into the fantasy of it in my head.
Nice.
And just being like, oh my God, yeah, he's putting, in my head, I was just like saying things to myself, like, yeah, he's putting his dick inside you, like in your asshole. And
that focus, like the self-inner log where you're just like, yeah, this is going to happen. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so good.
And so he was going really, I feel like he was going in slowly and it was getting deeper and deeper and deeper in my ass. And then, like, I probably came, but I was like, I didn't make a big deal about it because I kind of, like, I was trying to, like, I was trying not to come, and then I just sort of came because it was just really hot.
Yeah.
And but I was like, oh, that's just a small one. I'll be able to do it again. And then I just couldn't do it again.
So tough.
So annoying. It's like, so annoying.
That's
but
so frustrating.
It was still good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you came. That's amazing. That's so cool.
Yeah. But yeah, and then it got like, he was going like deep, and I was like, this is proper anal sex. Like, he has like a great like way that he moves his hips, and like he was just like really kind of like rhythmically like pushing in a kind of like down and then up kind of motion.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, it was good. It was good times. Anything new on your side, Reed?
Sam and I went away for a little staycation in the UK. It was a surprise. I didn't know where I was going. And it was really nice. Like, he took me to an Airbnb in the middle of nowhere, which had a sauna, a double shower room with two showers, which is just obscene. But we had a jacuzzi outside, which was really cool. So out in, you know, in the middle of nowhere, we had llamas in the field next to us, which was jokes. I was a bit nervous about the jacuzzi because jacuzzi and my vagina, they're not best friends, man. They don't like each other, but she was okay.
Was it?
She was okay.
Yeah. Good for her.
Yeah.
Well done, girl.
I did have to state to Sam, I was like, okay, Sam, like, jacuzzis, they're cool, but, you know, like, no fingering or no penetration around the jacuzzi. And if you want to do that, we're going to have to wash. Like, please, can we wash? Because my vagina will be pissed off. And I've had PID from having sex in a hot tub before, and also mad UTIs. But anyway, so yeah, we did that. And that was really fun. You know it's going to be a good getaway when your partner says, bring all the sex toys you own. And I was like,
oh, yeah.
All right. All right, motherfucker. I did. I packed thick. Most of my bag was sex toys, I swear. Or sex apparatus. And then the next day we stayed in a really fancy hotel, which was also fun. He tied me to a motherfucking chair. And basically I've been masturbating over this fantasy of being tied to a chair, sat on a wand, and like forced to come over and over again whilst being tickled, of course, because my fetish. So he, he indulged me on most of that, which was amazing. Thank you very much, Sam.
Wow.
I was very happy. I was also unwell, which sucked. So
yeah,
it was trying to like, yes, this is amazing, and like I want to be fully present, but also all I need is a hot water bottle and bed. So that was a little tough. Unfortunate, but
I hate those situations.
Yeah, it was. I was pissed off. He was upset, of course, because we couldn't go the full hog. And obviously being out in the freezing cold in a jacuzzi, yes, I'm steaming out all of the virus, but I think it just made me 10 times worse because I'm still sick today. And it's been five days. I'm just like, fuck me, Christ. And I was feeling a bit like rubbish about it. But then he came over and surprised me last night, which was really nice. So he popped over, surprised me at mine, fucked me and then left. And it was the best thing ever. Like, I just, for some reason, I don't know what it is about it, but I just love a quick fuck and then like my own space afterwards. I don't know what it is. So yeah, I got a good fucking scene nice. Too yesterday. And it's so hard because I still live with my sister and I still live with my partner, and I find it, my housemate Rosie, best friend from a long time. Anyway, so he's fucking me and I'm finding it really hard to focus because all I can do is hear my sister and Rosie like chatting in the corridor, and I'm just like, please, I just want to come. But the amazing thing about Sam is that when we have sex, he's very good at bringing my focus like into the sex. So it's a lot of eye contact, a lot of dirty talk, a lot of like, no, what do you need? Like, okay, is this not working? What's the next sex toy that you need? Like, should we change position? And it's so perfect. And yeah, some good shit. Although when I'm really struggling to come, I actually do have to close my eyes a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Like I do.
I get that as well.
But then, oh my God, Sam does this neat motherfucking trick, which also helps me when he knows that I'm struggling to focus. He will cover my eyes and cover my mouth at the same time. And then I'm just like, it's like sensory deprivation. And then I'm like, all I can feel is the sensations. Or sometimes he'll cover my ears as well. And I'm like, holy fucking shit. Like, did somebody make you in a perfect little sex machine for me? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, literally.
Someone created a monster.
That's such a good thing to do if you're like struggling.
Yeah.
I love the fact that he's like, he's so clocked on to like when you aren't able to come, or like, and then he just like knows the exact thing to do.
Yeah. That's, and it takes me out of my negative thought process of like, yeah, oh, I can hear someone in the kitchen or the kettle's going, or like, oh, maybe like, oh, like, fuck, I can't reach orgasm. And then as soon as someone does something dramatic like that, where, you know, my eyes are covered, my ears are covered, then it just brings you back into the room and back into the sex and back into your body. Breathing doesn't work, because sometimes breathing doesn't work for me either. I don't want to fucking breathe slowly and think about my breath. Like,
I don't want to breathe during sex.
Exactly.
No.
Being asphyxiated. Being asphyxiated really does help with my focus. And I think that's a really nice, beautiful segue onto the Dom couple, because there was a lot of breath play involved in our play.
Ooh,
hoo-wee. And that's, it's really exciting. So yeah. Can't wait to have them on.
Let's bring them on.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. I'm so fucking excited. Yay.
I'm so horny.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
so excited to welcome you onto the podcast.
Hello, hello, hi.
Hey, it's nice to be here.
Hi. It's so good to see you both. How are you holding up? It's been long days at work, I've heard.
It's been an interesting time. It's been an interesting time, but we're here. We're moving.
I'm so excited to have you both on the podcast because we've never had anyone on the podcast before that either of us has slept with.
Yeah, which is crazy. So you are breaking first time fucks given history, pop in the virginity of our podcast.
Woo! I'm honoured.
So your nickname on the podcast was like the Dom couple. That's what the curious fuckers know you as.
Which isn't really fair because that isn't what your dynamic is, but that was when we were speaking originally. And was it FetLife that we were mainly chatting on, or was it Field?
Yeah.
FetLife, which is crazy. Because it's really hard to meet people on FetLife. For those of you who don't know, FetLife is sort of like the old school kind of like Facebook for fetish and kink.
I mean, it was me that instigated it, Reed. Amazing. You put up a post going, oh, I'm out and out. I have a tickling fetish. I saw it come up on my feed and I was like, fuck it. I'm going to message her because yeah. I love that.
And I'm so glad you did.
And then I was like, is she going to reply? Yeah. And she replied and that was,
it's really, again, hard to meet people on FetLife, and I'm glad you did because it was very much as I was going through like a stage of trying to own my fetish, trying to get rid of all that shame and embarrassment that I've told myself all these years and like can't tell anyone and you're weird and no one's going to be into this, and lo and behold, you message me and I was like, oh my god, there's some people in it, like in my country, that want to play that don't seem fucking weird. Wouldn't speak for Tom over there, but and we ended up meeting up was it expectations date?
Yeah.
And it was just really nice. I think what I was nervous about was like, Hannah, you were great. Talking to you was really fine. And I felt really connected to you because you were like, yeah, so it's something tickling is something I want to explore, but it's not necessarily something I'm into sexually, but I enjoy doing it. And I was like, oh my God, this sounds really fun. But I was more nervous about meeting Tom, of course, because being a man in the situation, being a lone, vulnerable woman, I was like, oh, well, what if I don't, I fancy Hannah, but what if I don't fancy Tom? Like, that's a big deal for me because I am more sexually attracted to men than I am, generally speaking, to women, more romantically attracted to women. And as soon as I met you both, all of my fears and worries about meeting a white cis male were just completely, it dissolved because you were just so nice to chat to and easy and personable and funny as well. And that was just like the moment where I was like, this is going to work because I just feel so safe, which was really nice.
For us, it's never assumed that play will happen when you meet someone. Like, yes. You can chat to someone on Field or Fet or even Tinder, whatever. But both of us, I think Reed was one of the like exceptions because we got on so well on that date that I can probably count on one hand the number of times I've gone on a date with someone and then played immediately after. Normally, you meet someone, you see how it goes, and you know that that's kind of like off the cards unless you opt into it actively and go, yeah, let's go for it. So it's that no pressure kind of situation. And that was the beautiful thing about what we did is it just was so spontaneous.
Yeah, it was so much fun. It was like, I think I knew within 5 minutes of meeting you guys, I was like, I want to go back to your house. I feel safe. I feel comfortable. This is perfect.
Yeah. I think that's the difference between like what people think that thing, like things that happen with like kink and BDSM and like people that do meet up just for like sex and stuff. You kind of assume that, oh yeah, these people are just like, going over to each other's houses, like shagging and that's it. But like, actually, when it comes down to it, like the BDSM community is like the most communicative, like open, like it will always just be so safe and sound. This is just proof.
Yeah. I mean, it's 90% paperwork. we joke about it, but BDSM is 95% admin because it is. It's so much time getting to know people, what do they like? What don't they like? What are their limits? What are their, a disproportionate and really unfortunate number of people have experienced various kinds of trauma in different ways. And so, people are bringing that in different ways to whatever they do and just trying to trying to make it a safer. So I'm a big fan of like not referring to it as safe, because it's not. Like there's you know, driving a car is not safe, mm-hmm. but I think there's a lot of stuff about trying to make it safer and trying to make it match what the person wants or what the person expects, and trying to protect everyone involved as well. You know, people need to be really, really sensible and really, you know, communicate exactly what they do and don't want and things like that, because it is fundamentally people can get hurt, not just physically, but can get really hurt emotionally if people don't do it properly.
I think the emotional part is probably what happens most. And then that's even harder to talk about, because you're not expecting it, or it will come and creep up on you months later where you go, actually, no, that's badly affecting me. It's all very well and good meeting people online, but it can be unsafe, and you have to really tune in and, you know, like vet people's profiles, the way they talk to you, the way they message you outside of the app and on a more personal basis, as well as when you meet them. If you're not sure, then I would say it's a no for now and revisit it. You have to be 100% sure, and it's the same with consent. You have to be 100% enthusiastic, yes. And that's why it worked so well for us. It was an enthusiastic yes. When we met for the date, we chatted a lot in person about what we were both into, what we liked. We also had some fun, talked about normal stuff as well. It wasn't all about the sex, which again makes it really comfortable. And we talked about the safety. So I was like, you guys are clued in. You know what you're talking about. It's not, you're just having fun for the sake of it.
Yeah, and I think it's really important, because the discussions that we had, blending, you know, the actual elements of BDSM and kink and then normal life as well, you get an idea for that process the opposite way around as well. Because what a lot of people are only just coming to realize is that as a dom, you need to consent to who you're playing with, mm-hmm. as well. You're not just providing this service because everyone's submissive and they want this experience and a dom gives that to them. I've definitely blacklisted people because they make me feel unsafe as a dom.
Yeah.
Not because I'm in a vulnerable position, but mainly because I don't trust that they're going to use their safe words. Mm-hmm. I don't trust that they know what they're getting into. Maybe they're not being honest with me. Or actually, there's maybe some associated drama around that potentially as well. Someone who has been quite needy and selfish with their kink and, you know, doesn't allow me the aftercare that I need as a dom as well. So that vet has to go both ways.
Would you mind telling us a bit about your dynamic? Because when I met you, Hannah, you were a dom, a mistress, and then spoke about Tom being more dominant than even so. And you guys, you sort of have a very different dynamic personally, but you're both doms. Like, how does it work?
It's a forever battle of stubbornness.
Of dominance.
So we actually met, like, we've talked about Lou's King Caps, we met on Tinder. Of all of the godforsaken wastelands to meet, we met on Tinder. And in our profiles, we had kind of kept it relatively vague, and we both mentioned the fact that we were, you know, kinky. Mm-hmm. And so we sat in the pub together and sort of did, again, you know, did all the talking and going through things, and we just got talking on a school night as well. I hasten to add,
shocking.
I know.
Ooh, on a school
and
night.
I know. And then so I was like, oh, you know, this beautiful, beautiful woman. And, you know, she's really intelligent. She's
Stop
into all
it.
Of this stuff. I know. And then and I was like, also, you know, where do you sit on the kink spectrum? She was like, oh, I'm a dom. I'm like, cool. How's that gonna work then? Just and then you said something like, oh, but I think I'd quite like to kind of explore my sub side. I was like, yes, get in.
Yeah, but you were the first person who's a dom who is a male dom that I'd met, and I was like, I feel comfortable around you.
Mm-hmm.
Genuinely, having been kinky for a very long period of time, the first person I felt safe with, and was like, I could explore that.
Yeah, fascinating.
So obviously I'm aware, like, my picture is not going to be on this video. So if you were to imagine, like, a Venn diagram of privilege, and like, I'd be in the middle. So, like, literally smack bang in the middle. So, which is something that I'm acutely aware of in terms of when I talk about kink and when I talk about BDSM. Like, I've got a very, very privileged position to talk about all of that kind of stuff from. And so, yeah, I think you've got to be really mindful about it, because a lot of exceptionally problematic people in the kink community. And I think, Florence, you mentioned about it, you know, the BDSM community is safe. And yes and no, I would argue there were a lot of phenomenal. I mean, I've met some of the most wonderful, Hannah, obviously you've met some of the most wonderful people as well through it. But it's a community where people are more sexually open. People bring a lot of, you know, I think there's a disproportionate number of people that are really quite open about wanting to explore, you know, their own mental health or things that have happened to them previously and things like that. And there are going to be people that are not necessarily going to respect that, I think. I'm always quite critical of the community, and that's not critical like saying it's bad, but I think you've got to be really careful, and you've got to, you know, vet people. You talked about that, Reed, mm-hmm. like you've got to vet people to the point where I've had messages from people saying to me, I'm looking to play with this person. They've put you down as a reference.
What?
And absolutely. Yeah.
That's so we use it a lot.
I've had vets, especially because, you know, you've got, you know, it's people that you can trust and things like that. And, you know, you look at people's Instagrams and things like that, and you'll have people on Instagram say, you know, just because I've, you know, tied with somebody or, you know, done Shibari or something with somebody doesn't mean I necessarily, what's the word, necessarily endorse them or anything like that. You know, do your own research. And that'd be a huge thing for me, is like, just try where possible to vet people and ask them normal questions. And if they're not going to engage with you as like a normal human being, mm-hmm. if they're, you know, their first message is something horrific, like, you know, using all kinds of slurs or whatever they're using without any permission, it's like, no.
I mean, that makes sense, because like you have to put so much faith and trust in someone when it comes to BDSM. You are putting yourself in like the most vulnerable situation, like, especially if you're getting like tied up or whatever. Like, someone could literally do anything to you in that situation. And this is why I guess like quite a lot of people do like end up exploring BDSM like a bit later down the line, when they've like built a relationship with someone, and then they build that foundation of trust. But if you're going into a situation just as like a playtime, like meeting like people for the first time, and like it's very specific to that, then you have to, it makes so much sense what you're saying, because if you don't have that fundamental like foundation of trust from getting to know someone, you need Absolutely. To do it in another way.
Oh yeah. I mean, I want to get into the like the nitty-gritty of like what actually went down and what happened.
Do it.
Yeah, I think we need to refresh the curious fuckers mind. Now we can kind of go over the story, but with you both here, which is amazing.
Yeah, because I'm saying it from like my point of view, my biased point of view, which is like, I remember just being like an excited like kid, just like, oh, Florence, I have to tell you about this amazing thing that's just happened. Oh my god, it's so cool.
Yeah,
and hopefully you guys can like fill in the gaps and the details.
100%. It was a great experience.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was a flurry as well, because I went back to yours and I remember just being so overwhelmed with, again, how like nice it felt, how homely and comfortable it felt, but also going into your living room and seeing your apparatus like in the living room and being like, these guys just get it. Like they get it. They know me. They know all of the stuff that I've been fantasizing and feeling all this time that I haven't been able to like put in my damn living room. I respected you, Hannah, because you were like, I don't really drink. Like, I'll have one drink, but Tom and I had a drink. And you were like, yeah, let me show you, I don't even know, like your drawers. I remember your big drawers.
Show you the kink chest. Yeah, the kink chest. It was ridiculous.
I was like, you have a kink chest? Oh my god.
What is in there?
Well, we've got it right behind.
Yeah, it's right behind me.
Oh, so, shit.
It's an entire chest of drawers now. Yeah, it was massive. At one point a box, and then it's just become a chest of drawers.
We need to put some hangers on the back of the door as well. So like the top drawer has got things like gags, blindfolds, gaffer tape, gloves. The next drawer down is insertables of varying degrees.
Many degrees.
Sizes. Many degrees, yeah. The next one down after that is all impact toys. So there are things like floggers, whips, dragon's tails, baseball bats, that sort of stuff in there.
What's a dragon's tail?
Oh, it's like a hybrid whip. It's a bit like a flogger and a whip combined, so it's quite stingy. It's probably our most favourite thing. Well, I definitely absolutely love it. for giving and receiving. But yeah, and then there's the bottom drawer, which is like the double height of the rest of the drawers, and it's just full of rope.
You seem so upset about that. It's just rope. So yeah, so I'm really into shibari and, you know, like Japanese rope bondage, and that's kind of, I guess, as much as anything, is like one of my big things. And I, you know, regularly go and practice over anatomy and things like that, and so over at the studios. So yes, we've got a ridiculous volume of rope. I should probably do a bit of an audit at some point, but
I just kind of remember you coming in, Reid, and me being like, right, okay, if this is kind of what you want to do, like, in this play session, please choose what you want out of the drawer.
Yeah, I felt like I was a kid in a candy store. I was like,
it's like a pick and mix. I'll have this.
I want everything. So I remember, yeah, Tom, you sat in the living room and you were like, okay, go with Hannah and go pick out some things that you want to play with. And then I was just like, oh, can I want to try that one. And let's try that one.
And we literally decimated the drawer, took it all in the living room. We hardly used any of it.
She's
walking in like, just can't carry it all.
Because before then, I hadn't really done a lot with impact play. And the other amazing thing, Tom, was when you mentioned about bags. And I was like, bags? And you were like, I've just bought a whole new reel of bags. And I was like, oh my God. And you were so excited. And I was excited for you. And I was like, I haven't played with breath play like that. You know, of course I've been choked. I've been choked in like unsafe situations, drunk with a partner, which is not good. And you both really taught me the safety around choking as well. And now I'm aware of it and I teach people. I've taught Sam and he knows how to. I can feel it when he goes to choke me. I can feel him adjusting his hand and I'm like, yes.
That makes me so happy.
So appreciative.
But then you've also got breath play as well, which is more what we were doing with Reid, which is just controlling the level of or amount of oxygen and controlling carbon dioxide kind of balance as well. So, you know, that lovely hyperventilation feeling you get when you're like pre-having a panic attack, that kind of, that's what the bag does.
Yeah, so with the bag, that was fascinating. I was like, I want to have a go with the bag. Like, I feel safe with you guys. And we were already doing a little bit here and there of, I think this is either before or during, where we're all naked. We've all started, you know, I'm being held down by Tom. I'm being fucked with a dildo from Hannah. Like, there's a lot going on. I'm being tickled. I'm just like getting double teamed and there's so much going on. And I'm just like in absolute heaven, heaven bliss going like, what the fuck is happening?
You've got no idea which way is up, right?
Yeah. And that's what's so beautiful about it. And I'm just like, oh, it's just, yeah, it was magical. It was magical. It was my princess moment.
The thing is, we had this, you know, there's a nice progression to that. We were tickling you and restraining you, which makes breathing really fucking difficult to start with.
Yes.
And then we start putting hands over your mouth and then we start putting bags over your head.
Yeah.
And suddenly it goes from, you know, a little bit of, I can't breathe, to fuck, I can't breathe.
Pure panic. And I love fear and I love panic. And I love that Tom was really into the panic part.
So that's, probably my big, one of, probably my biggest kink is fear. Fear and so I don't, I mean, obviously we use kind of Dom as a shorthand, but actually I'd identify as a sadist. That's kind of that's probably my preferred play style for most people.
Nice.
And certainly like the fear element and kind of watching people cry and things like that. But like I really enjoy the fear. I think it's a lot to do with like that intensity of connection.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I said a really, and there'll be people listening who are just like, that, no, I don't get that, that's really weird. But it's, I guess when you see somebody at their kind of most vulnerable, just completely exposed and to the point where they are like completely in tears or completely just losing control, there's something really intimate about that.
Yeah, and sexy. I mean, as like a submissive masochist, that's what I think about. That's what turns me on, is the fear, the panic, the crying, the begging for it to stop. That's what turns me on from my side. I think a lot of people might go like, oh, well, he's a sadist. Of course, he likes, you know, he's a man. He likes all these like really extreme things. And it's like, again, we can't help the things that turn us on most of the time. Most of the time, they're buried in shame and things that we've pushed away or things that we've tried again. Because especially as a bloke, we're told not to hurt people. We're told not to like make people cry. But yeah, that's the thing that turns us on most of all. And we're allowed to explore that in a safe environment.
Yeah. And it's also, like, for us, like, the interaction that we had really stood out for me in terms of, obviously, the spontaneity and bits and pieces like that, but also the just the level of vulnerability that was displayed is massive. And for me, again, coming back to that vetting process, you can be that honest with me, I know that you could play at the intensity that I prefer to play at. Because the, like, Tom and I both have and have definitely cultivated a style of play that is intense.
Super intense, yeah. Because even...
Yeah, it's really intense. Even our dynamic, mm-hmm. we don't have a soft dynamic at all between us. The majority
not
of our
play. Outside, it's not like that all the time, I promise.
No, it depends how much you piss me off, really, to be honest. But like our play dynamic, even without it being like, oh, we're setting up a scene for the night, like any spontaneous play is pretty much in the remit of being C&C or consensual, non-consensual for the majority of our dynamic, yeah. Which, as you're saying, like trying to get around that shame element of being like, actually, this is what I want. Coming from someone who's a top and a dom, going, ah, actually, do you know what? I want to explore being potentially a bottom, submissive, and going, but how are people going to judge that? People know that I'm a top. Suddenly, they see me getting kicked across a room and being like, is she really a top? Really? I don't see it personally. I don't see it. So I kind of get that unraveling as well of the conceptions that you have about yourself and your sexuality.
I'm intrigued to see like how it is having that dynamic together, like so you're submissive and you're dominant, Tom, in your relationship, but how is it then playing with other people and then both being dominant? How does that work?
Absolute clusterfuck. because we both egg each other on as well, and you're like, oh, you're doing that thing, and also there's no, I think, you know,
I'm gonna say we tend to play with bratty masochists.
Does help.
I don't egg you on, the brats egg me on, and then they egg you on.
Yeah, that's fair. We play together, it, you know, we've been doing it a while now, so it complements each other quite well, and we have different things, you know, different things that we do enjoy. You know, it's not identical to the stuff that we're into at all. So
absolutely not.
Yeah, so there's different elements of that as well. And I guess, yeah, so we can both be doing things to antagonise or whatever, you know, antagonise the bottom or sub. But also, by the same token, one person can kind of be keeping an eye as well. So that's also quite handy if you're, you know, because so much of it is about non-verbal cues as well. So, you know, if I'm doing, say, impact, Hannah can be checking and going, they're starting to look a little bit like they're having a bit of a wobble. Like, so, yeah, it works. It works really well, and like we really nice. Enjoy it. But it's quite tense because there is no break.
Yeah, no, there was no break. But I really appreciated break. And I know it's common sense, but for a lot of people it isn't when they're playing because it can just be like all the time. But there were definite times where, Hannah, you were like, okay, stop, Reed, are you okay? And it was like a full moment of stop and checking in. And because, again, we're playing with breath play or playing with situations where my brain is not really functioning properly. And sometimes I don't even know if I want to stop or whether or not I should stop. So having somebody...
Yeah, it's a really hard line to pull, isn't it? Yeah. When you're actually in that position of, I don't really know if my body is saying something different to my brain or not.
Yeah.
That physiological response, especially with stuff like breath play and tickling, because it's just
adrenaline.
Fight or flight.
Yeah, for sure.
And you might be like, oh no, I want to stay here because this is fun. This is exciting and I'm enjoying it. But actually, 5 more minutes and you're going to tip over the edge and start crashing really badly.
Yeah, and funnily enough, like I mean, I was very honest about where my mental health was at and I felt like I could be honest.
Yeah.
And after our play, when we did do our wind down and we did do the cuddle sofa and the aftercare dog, and it was just so lovely, I did actually start feeling pangs of panic attack. Because again, my body had been pushed to fight or flight response. And my mind, you know, like my my mind was fine, but my obviously something in the back of my mind was going, you're not really safe here. I think we're in a bit of a tricky situation. And I started feeling a panic attack come on. But you guys were so perfect in that, where I was just like, hey, you know, like I've got anxiety. I feel like a panic attack's coming on. And you were just like, whatever you need, take as much time as you want. Here's the weighted blanket, which is fascinating.
I love it. I don't think I could live without one now.
Yeah. And just the ability to be able to verbalise that and not feel like, oh, Christ, don't know what to do in this situation. You were just like, yeah, it's all calm, it's all cool. Like, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. That's fine. I just felt so safe. And it didn't ruin the time. Like, you know, it was very controllable.
No.
I managed to control a potential panic attack. And it was just, again, that was nice as well. That was also a moment of like, wow, I could have had a panic attack, but I stopped it. I felt safe enough to stop it. And now, if the situation happens again, I know that I'm going to be okay because I can stop it.
Holy shit.
What was your guys' favourite moment of the session with Reed? Like, what really, like, stood out for you both?
Okay, so my favourite part of the play, which I masturbate to quite a bit.
Love to know this.
Thank you.
My glit. And oh, my glit's so small. And it kind of revolves around safe words and things, but it's the part where I got pushed to my absolute limits and I couldn't take it anymore. And that's the bit that turns me on the most. Is where I think Tom, I can't remember if I was tied up, but you were holding me down. I'm on my knees and you're sort of like sandwiched around me. Holding me down, and I've got Hannah tickling me real hard, and like one of my favorite spots is on my ribs, and you were just doing this so fucking hard on my ribs, and that was when I was like, oh my god, I can't take it anymore. And that's my favorite bit. It's just that bit of being so like, this is torture, this is too much, I cannot handle this, and I need to get out of this situation. And that's the bit that I masturbate over quite often. That was it.
So I'm just going to like casually every now and then in the middle of nothing, just text you and be like, hey, Reed, guess what?
Do you remember that time?
even our WhatsApp group, and you named it, our WhatsApp group title is like to tickle. Every time that comes up, I'm triggered and I'm like, okay, hi, hello. And I get like a fucking pussy gallop every time I read that title. I'm like, fuck me. So yeah, thank you very much. That was wonderful.
You are most really welcome.
It really was.
To go back to when, you know, like when I'm unable to verbally say, hey, I need a break. There was a moment as well, Hannah, where you were like, remember, and you like, made eye contact with me and you were like, remember, if you can't say anything, remember to tap if you want out. And that was because, again, when you're in that panic state, all your safe words kind of go out the window. And there was a moment where the bag was on my head and I was like, I can't take this anymore. I did tap and you took it off immediately. There was no time between that where I could panic even more. It was off. And that again.
And there's also, there doesn't have to be questions asked on that. For me, this is quite a big thing, and it comes from probably some of my experience and having learned from going from topping to bottoming and being then in a submissive space, is actually verbal communication is shit in BDSM. Yeah. It really, really is, because you've obviously got safe words. People have like ridiculous safe words. They have normal safe words. They have traffic light systems, numbers systems. We use mercy and things like this. But actually, for me, if I'm subbing, I go nonverbal, fully nonverbal, which means that suddenly you don't have any of that, which means you're looking for so much more. And that's particularly probably why I enjoy co-doming with Tom. And I enjoyed the session where you obviously were getting to the point of going, I probably need to tap out. You don't know this, but I can see it. And for me, part of this, coming back to your original question of what was the best bit of the scene, for me was going, I've spotted that. And now I'm going to take you to the other side of dominance, which is caring, maternal, that kind of vibe, which is where for me, the psychological play between fear, terror and reconciliation come. That's probably for me one of the most fulfilling aspects for myself.
It was lovely.
And it's that that non-verbal stuff is so important.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's how you negotiate consent changing in a scene potentially as well.
Because it does, and it can. And even
oh my God, absolutely.
And I think a lot of people feel like it's a failure if you've verbally said, I want to do this, this and this, or you've planned it, and then you're like, actually, I don't want to do it anymore. And it's not a failure. It's just...
Yeah, it's like... It just, it happens, and, you know, lots of things can change emotionally, in terms of just even mood. Like, I might say to Tom, absolutely, I want you to fist my pussy so hard that I gush everywhere. And then you put a finger in me and I'm like, get the fuck away from me. No, I don't want this. And that can be like 2 minutes. That could be a change in 2 minutes. And it's really easy for people to forget in play that you can say no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you can change your mind, and that's absolutely fine.
You shouldn't have to apologise for that. Like, again, going back to the whole like rope thing, I've done loads of, and people are like, oh, I'm really sorry, like I wasn't able to do this, or you know, and I'm like, why on earth are you apologising? Like,
yeah, I mean, we had it in that where Reed started to apologise for going, I can't do any more tickling, and we were like, well, that's absolutely fine. Don't, like, if you can't take any more, you can't take any more. And I know Tom will say the same on this. Like, my pleasure isn't my limit of what I can do to someone. And Tom's really hard on this. You work to the limits of the person that you're playing with.
Mm-hmm.
It's about that reactive element. It's not, in terms of impact, it's not, I enjoy playing with the person I can hit the hardest.
Yeah.
Because that's fucked up in a slightly different way for me.
Yeah.
It's more of a... I get to manipulate where you sit in this play scene. I get to push. I get to like come off the accelerator as well. And that sub, bottom, whoever, being happy about that, that's where actually the fulfillment comes from.
Mm-hmm.
I think also it's really, obviously, and very rightly so, we spend a lot of time talking about consent from the sub, bottom, you can use the terms interchangeably, consent from the sub, their limits and things like that. But actually, there's also, you know, people do get, and I get top drop as well. So, you know, post scene, I can get some really quite, you know, can get a lot of those similar feelings, especially around shame and guilt and things like that. And I need to have that affirmation that actually what I did was okay. And so some of the worst post-scene experiences I've had is actually people turning around going, no, like, I didn't want to keep doing that, but I kept doing that because I knew that you enjoyed it.
Oh.
And I'm just like, and yeah, for me, like, that sends me into a really, because I'm there going, I should have spotted that, I should have noticed. And actually, you know, the person, the sub, has a huge amount of responsibility to communicate accurately, because we're not, you know, as tops, I'm not a mind reader. You know, you'll give me a list of limits, you'll give me a list of things that you want to do on the day or don't want to do on the day. You've got your safe words, you've got whatever else it is, your non-verbal cues and all the things that should be pre-negotiated. But things change on the day. Like, you know, and you might think that you're up for one thing and you're not. And if you'll go, oh, well, you know, I've come around to this person's house and I've said that I'm going to do X, Y, Z, and we've been talking about it, and, you know, sexy chat for like the last couple of weeks that we're going to do this thing. I've got to go through with it because otherwise I'm a failure. And then that's bad for you, but that's really shitty for me, because effectively I've just been, you know, unwittingly party to committing, you know, a consent violation, because that's not trauma. What you wanted. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, the effect that has, and I have, you know, I have had that situation. The effect that's had on me has been huge. And so, you know, trusting people, playing with people and trusting that they will use their safe words and things like that is huge.
I would love to ask you both the notorious fucks given question, which is your fuck off stories. Who's going first?
I'll go first, because I think mine's actually not as good as Tom's. So this was relatively recently, and this was between us, so, you know, no bars held here. You know, you do the, I'm going to scroll through the depths of the internet for some really dirty shit, the sort of stuff where you come and you're like, fuck, I hate myself, I feel horrendous. Post nut shame and clarity hits you hard in the face. You're like, close the tabs. So just scrolling through, and I have thumbs at work, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to send this, I want to try this. So we get home and it involves water sports. So that's quite a big kink of mine for a multitude of reasons, primarily because it hits that shame, fear, taboo kind of vibe.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, do you know what? I think it would be so hot and I'd be so turned on if you peed in my ass.
Oh.
Yeah. So we were like, okay, we're gonna set this up. We're gonna have gaffer tape to hold my butt open. We're gonna make sure like there's the stuff in the bathroom so it's nice and warm and comfy. We can stay in there for a bit and it just descend into messy chaos, etc. So got going, started off to the point where I could get a little bit of a butthole gape going on. And we were like, right, crack on, go. And Tom starts pissing on my asshole. And I just absolutely fucking collapse into this fit of giggles. And I couldn't stop. It was just, I'm like, it tickles. It tickles so fucking bad. And you're like, this is meant to be like super sexy, super hot, dirty. I'm like, fuck me, my ass is just tickling so badly. We need to stop. And
I'm here loving this story because this hits my face. You should have tied it down.
All of it.
Fuck me.
All of it.
Making notes.
But it's one of those things, I'm like, oh, that fantasy. And I'm like, maybe that was just a fantasy I shouldn't have touched.
Ruined.
Because it was just so ruined.
But also, like, for context, I have the world's smallest bladder. So I'm there at work going, oh, I need to hydrate, make sure I'm really well hydrated. Completely overshot it. I was like, right, I've either got to go to the toilet just before I leave, or no, I've got to drive. So I'm driving home as quickly as I can. I'm like, I'm gonna absolutely wet myself. Get into the house. I'm like, okay, so now I've somehow got to get hard. It's like all I desperately want to do is just go to the toilet. I'm like, we are doing this now. It's not safe. Get in the bathroom now because you've got a 5-minute window before I, like, my bladder like ruptures. And that's the hot truth. It's just, see, it's 90% admin, 90% admin.
Okay, Tom, what is your fuck-off story?
So mine's not actually kink. This is kind of my pre-kink days, but it is just one of my favourite stories. So I was still at university at this point and met a wonderful person and, chatting away. Went back to her place and shared house. So, shut the door, all fine. And we get down to it and she she was like, oh, do you want to... do you want to try some anal? And at this point, I was like, oh, this is a bit exotic. It's a bit exciting. Absolutely. Yeah, let's try some anal. All going absolutely fine. Going swimmingly. Except this person had a cat. Now, it turned out that the cat had got locked in the room with us and the cat was under the bed.
Oh.
The cat did not appreciate what I was doing to its owner. It did not. So out of the corner of my right eye, and I will
remember,
I see the cat. I'm like, that's a cat. I mean, I've been watched by a weirdo. It's fine. The cat looks at me, goes, leaps at me like something from the seventh circle of hell. Physically attaches to my shoulder.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it gets better. Physically attaches to my shoulder. I'm like, okay, well, cat's attached to me now. At which point, understandably, I very rapidly withdraw from this young lady's bumhole. Yeah, we can see where this is going. She shits herself all over the bed.
Oh, fuck.
So I'm there with a cat still attached to me, with a large-ish pile of poop in front of me on the bed, and this person looking over their shoulder at me with a level of mortified shame that nowadays would turn me on, but at that point was just... And I just remember going, are you okay? And she was just there, and I was like, look, can I help? Can I do anything? She was like, just go. And I was like, are you sure? She was like, go. And so I did. I respect her. I moved the cat. I put on my clothes and I left. We did not speak. After that.
No.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was only our third date. It wasn't a longer term relationship. But,
wow.
Yeah. So
wow.
that was
a
intense.
Fuck off story for sure.
Yeah.
That is certainly A fuck off story. That might not as good as Sophie Anderson's, but almost. Yeah,
I'm never gonna compete. Like, not even in the same.
No one can.
No one can. There will be someone in the world, and we hope you hear this message to compete in our fuck off story.
Because you should host a competition for it. You really should host a competition for it.
Is sex competitive? Yes.
That was a beautiful fuck off story.
That was amazing.
Thank you.
What a beautiful end to this episode. Thank you both for coming on.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it was amazing to hear from you.
I'm like sweaty and I'm excited and I've got all my adrenaline and excitement back and my fucking pussy's like got a massive wide on. So like I'm so grateful for this. Thank you. It's been so lovely. I'm so horny.
Wow, what a fucking
wow
episode. I feel like my mind has been bamboozled as well with all like the knowledgeable consent talk and all the kind of admin side of BDSM as well.
Yeah, I'm really proud of them for two people who don't use their voices and who don't talk on podcasts or on social media. That I'm so proud about like the knowledge that they had and how well they explained a lot of the stuff in there. Because again, I think BDSM, we just like, oh yeah, it's really cool. But there's a lot to think about if you are playing in it. Again, if you're experienced players, as they call it.
Yeah. How are you feeling after like talking to them again?
Oh, like energized, excited. I'm like ready to like start my day. I'm like, whoa, let's go. I want to play. I want to have fun. I'm very horny, of course. And also quite like therapeutic and cathartic. It was really nice seeing them again and hearing things from their point of view. And we still chat on WhatsApp, but like life gets in the way and we don't chat as much as I want to, as we want to. And also being so honest about the play that I've wanted. And like, of course, with my tickling fetish and not being able to like really verbalize that and be that explicit as a really therapeutic. Like, I feel like, fuck, I can be like, I'm me again. I can be me. I'm not fucking in the shadows, cast away in shame about all my horrific fantasies. I'm like, yeah, man, just get it out there and open. I feel so good about it, you know?
Nice.
What about you? Was anything a bit shocking for you? Was it okay?
No, it was great. It was great to get like a deeper insight into that whole situation, because when I first heard it, I was like, whoa, my words are gone. I don't even know what to say to this.
It's like, are you okay, hon?
Are you okay? Bags over your head. Okay, cool.
That was
cool. But so if anyone, this episode resonated with you and you feel the urge to share it with the world, please talk to your friends about this podcast. Please share this episode with them. Share it like you have, I was like going to say, like you have an STI and you're just going to go around fucking always. Everyone alive.
Spreading my STI disease.
Spread it around. Spread it like love.
Yes,
that's better.
Like love. Spread it like your open legs with love. And of course, if you want to check us out on Instagram, please do @comecurious, as well as our personal accounts, Reed Amber X and Florence Bark. And you can check this whole episode out on YouTube if you're listening to it.
Yeah.
On your morning commute, you absolute pervert. You can also watch how, well, Florence's expressions of horror throughout this whole thing on YouTube.
Is that what my face was like?
You were great. You were like sitting there like,
I was like, oh, interesting. Nice. Cool.
Next one.
And as always, please remember to give us a rating and a review, because this helps so much with the podcast and getting us into more people's ear holes. And you know how important these conversations are to have with people and for people to listen to. Let's reboot the world with sex positivity and knowledge.
I think that we're doing how are we doing the longest outro for like the longest episode here?
I don't know.
Well?
Like, let's go.
Let's go.
See you next time,
Curious Buggers. Bye. Play safe. Play safer.
Crowd Network, a place where you belong.